Welcome back. You're listening to Half Hour to Health. I'm Dr. Stephanie from Crossroads Chiropractic, and we're talking concussions this morning with Dr. Scott Krichunas from InFocus Eye Care in Belmont. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we talked a little bit about the basics of concussion, how to recognize them, baseline testing in the first half of the show. But I want to talk something that's been in the news recently, and maybe not everyone's seen it, but CNN had released a story about how the FDA has approved a blood test that detects concussions.
Yes.
Tell us the scoop of this, because it might not be as good as it sounds.
I don't think it is. So there's a, for a long time, they've been trying to come up with blood tests to be able to identify different markers that are released in the presence of an injury. And this company came out with a blood test that looks at two proteins that are released by different types of brain cells when they're injured. And so in the presence of an injury, you get a release of two proteins. One's called GFAP and the other one's UCHL1. And they do get released in the presence of an injury. But what the test is actually looking at is if those markers are present, then they can rule out or kind of use it as a screening tool to say you need a CAT scan or you don't need a CAT scan. Because right now the standard of care for determining concussions is with a CAT scan. Unfortunately, that's a lot of radiation to be giving people to the head when most concussions do not result in any kind of brain bleed. And that's the only thing that a CAT scan can really identify is if there's a bleed in the brain, which is obviously important. We need to know that. And then because if there is a bleed, then we can schedule surgery. But 90% of concussions do not result in a brain bleed. So having a screening tool that says you might have a bleed in the brain, which is what happens when these two proteins are released, or you don't, to be able to screen out and say we don't need a CAT scan, I think is a good thing. What's misleading, though, is that this test does not detect if there's a concussion present. And my fear is if facilities are running this blood test and whoever is interpreting the test says, oh, you don't have these markers present, you don't have a concussion. You're free to go back and play. When in fact, they very well could have a concussion and they're at much greater risk for that second impact injury. Or if they returned, so a lot of times kids will get hit on a Friday night at a game and mom, dad, or the kid may not tell the kid may not tell mom and dad that they have a headache or they got hit. But then towards a week later, they still have a pounding headache. Tell mom and dad about it. Mom and dad now go and have their kid evaluated for a concussion. The one unique property about these two proteins is that they will drop off after a week. So whether there's anything wrong, even if it is present on day one, the levels will drop off after 7 days. So if the kid goes and gets a blood test after 7 days, there's no marker or those markers are not elevated, they're going to be cleared to play when in fact they have probably a pretty significant concussion. Another thing that's really interesting or that's not brought up by the headlines is that this test was only approved for adults, not for kids. And I forget what the age range is. I don't know if it's 18 or if the subjects were 20s. That one I don't remember.
It was adults only, though.
It was on adults only, correct.
And so much of our concussion management is kids and teens.
Yes.
So we have to fast forward to another topic that I want to get in this morning, the Super Bowl, because I watched it. And the guy got hit. Well, I mean, you know, you live in New Hampshire, New England. It was the Patriots playing. So even if you don't even care about football, like, you're out of conversation
right
on Monday morning if you don't watch. So I had it on. I was doing other things. But in any case, whoa, did this guy get hit?
Cooks, yes. He did get creamed.
And didn't he keep playing? Did they take
him
off?
He took him. They took him off immediately.
Okay.
And he did not come back, which is a good thing. But he took a hard hit. It was difficult to watch that hit.
Proper management on concussion on that one.
I think so. Well, yeah, they didn't have a choice on that one. But the one that did happen that kind of like went under the radar for most of the game was the hit to Chung, the safety. It was in the third quarter, I think. It was just an inadvertent hit. I think he took a knee to the side of the head by one of his teammates as he was tackling the running back. But when the running back got up, he made the signal to the refs that he was out. He was knocked out. And so they took him off the field for one play or two plays. Apparently he passed their protocol, and he was allowed to return back to the game. Then later in the fourth, he took a hard block and was done. He was done for the game.
Wow.
So that one they seriously missed on, I think, unfortunately.
Now, how about the Olympics? Because we just got done with the Winter Olympics, and there are some hits happening there. I mean, accidents, head traumas.
Yep. That's again, another tough one. You don't want to see anybody get hurt and injured in any of these games. And these athletes are so good to, spend 4 years to do one jump and potentially be done because they got hit. But there is a couple feel-good stories. The one skier from Switzerland, she hit her head on, I forget if it was on a training run. And 36 hours later, she was back, and she actually won silver. So the feel-good story is that she fought through this injury. Problem is that she had no memory of the initial injury. So, she went out in practice. She's landing these jumps, still pounding on her head. That's scary. So, again, that second injury, or the second impact injury, I think is, unfortunately, may catch up to her later on. But that's not a story we want to be promoting, I don't
No,
think.
And, that's a risk that maybe she chose to take, or maybe a risk that her trainers or coaches chose for her to take. But if she didn't have memory of that initial incident, I don't know if she was in the state to make that decision for herself.
Right, I know. It's scary. It's very scary. And with the Olympics, I don't know that they have any protocols in place. At least the NFL's trying. But I don't know how much the Olympics have in place.
I wonder if we'll see that come into being in the next 4 years as
hopefully we
concussions,
will.
People are more aware.
Hopefully, and hopefully the athletes themselves will be able to recognize that, okay, I got hit hard. I don't want to risk the rest of my life. Yes, it's important, but there is another example of somebody who pulled himself out of the competition because he had a concussion. That's the smart move. So maybe he could come back 4 years later and compete again.
So in our last couple minutes here, what message do you have for people listening? Parents of athletes, maybe people that don't even have kids with concussion. What's your take-home message?
That it can happen to anyone. And the injury is different for everyone. There's no two concussions that are alike. The treatment protocol is different for everyone. And the biggest take-home message would be don't push through it. It's not worth it, especially if you're playing any sports. Parents, keep a close eye on your kids. Have them baselined. It's hard to put them in a bubble and watch them all the time, but the more we can do to protect them and pull them out if they do get injured, or if you have any questioning, then pull them. It's not worth their future.
Better safe than sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're looking for resources, the CDC has a pretty decent area of their website dedicated to concussion and mild traumatic brain injury. If you look up the Heads Up program at cdc.gov, you can find a lot of good background information there. The Brain Injury Association of America and the Brain Injury Association of New Hampshire, great resources as well. Any others that you want to share?
There's NORA, which is the Neuro-Optometric Rehab Association. They have a lot of information on concussions and the rehab and the functional deficits that are often present, mm-hmm. and how we can fix that. And then COVD, which is the College of Optometric Vision Therapists. Or did I get that wrong? They also have a lot of information on College of Optometrists and Vision Therapy.
And they've got some resources as well for concussion and concussion therapy.
Yes, they do.
Excellent. I can't thank you enough for being on the show with us. Your website again?
InFocusEyeCareNH.com.
And this is Dr. Scott Krichunas. He is a vision therapist as well as an optometrist, yes, taking care of people with concussions, without concussions, doing baselines and general eye care as well. But you are an expert when it comes to concussions. Tell us a little bit in just a couple seconds about some of the work that you've been doing outside of New Hampshire.
I am a CIC provider, which is the impact. So one of the baseline tests is the impact test that we do. So I can do the evaluation and the post-injury on that. So I am a CIC provider. And I have given a couple lectures in a couple conferences, one at NORA last September, and then a regional one at the Rochester Hospital talking about concussions. So the more word we can get out there, the better.
That's awesome. And you've been working with some top athletes outside of New Hampshire as well. And so I just want to give you a shout out for that, for being on the cutting edge and working with some of the top athletes here in the United States. So if you are looking for help with concussion, highly, highly recommend Dr. Krichunas. He's in Belmont. Thank you again for being here with us. And tune in next week here on Half Hour to Health. We are on WTPL on Saturdays and Sundays, and here on WEMJ on Saturday mornings as well. So we'll see you next weekend here on Half Hour to Health.